If you turn to Philippians chapter 1. As I worked on this lesson, keep looking up, I began to understand what keep looking up meant this weekend. So, with three little ones running around in a house that's not safety protected for children, that you try to get it done at the last minute, I kept looking up, say, why, God, why? But as we think about this morning, keep looking up. We do, and we see what Paul tells us here as we look up in these scriptures. Beginning in chapter 1, verse 1, we read through verse 8, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. May God have a blessing upon this reading. As we think about it, I find there are some words that are phrases that are very interesting to say. For instance, we've used the saying, it's water under the bridge. Do you know that? A blessing upon this reading. A blessing upon this reading. As we think about it, I find there are some words that are phrases that are very interesting to say. For instance, we've used the saying, it's water under the bridge. Do you know that? That's scriptural. We see that in Job chapter 11, he says, you surely forget your troubles, recalling it only as waters gone by. How about this one? A little bird told me. Ever use that phrase? Well, in Ecclesiastes verse chapter 10, verse 20, do not revile the king even in your thoughts, or curse the rich in your bedroom, because a bird in the sky may carry your words, and a bird on the wing may report what you say. How about I'll show you a thing or two? I heard that one quite a bit when I was growing up. 1 Samuel 14:12, the men of the outpost shouted to Jonathan and his armor bearer, come up to us and we'll teach you a lesson. So Jonathan said to his armor bearer, climb up after me. The Lord has given them into the hands of Israel. And the one that I love the most is the blind leading the blind. Matthew 15, verse 14 says, lead them, they are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. So we see that there are a lot of phrases that we use today that people today just don't realize how much scripture they really do know. As we look at this, we see that we can keep looking up. Another phrase that we use is keep looking up, isn't it? That is one as Christians we have to continually to share with one another. Just keep and look up. Look up to Jesus. He can give it to us. We see that in Psalms 5, chapter 5, verse 3, says, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expediently. And the King James says, and I will look up. I will look up to you, God. I will look to you for directions. Are we looking for directions this morning? Do we look for those signs that God has given us? Now, I noticed on Facebook there are a lot of things that come into play. People are always posting pictures up there of their families, their kids, and this and that, and different animals dressed up, and those types of things. But there are also some times that people have caught clouds in a formation that made it the face of Jesus and posted it. And we see that there are all kinds of things, and we're always looking up. And what do the clouds remind you of? And then when we lay and looking up to Jesus, to God, do we hear that small, still voice? Looking up means not trusting in human strength. Now, we have a lot of people that make a lot of money that are called counselors. And we go to professional counselors, don't we? and pay good money for it too, don't we? But you know who the greatest counselor there ever was? We call him Counselor, didn't we? In Luke chapter 2 and at Christmas time, we call him Wonderful Counselor, don't we? The greatest counselor there ever says, look up. Don't look elsewhere. Don't depend on everybody else, but look up to me. I'm here for you. And Paul knew this, and this is what he is sharing with them. And today he challenges us to look to him with confidence. Look up to God, not meekly, not ashamed, not timidly, but to look up to God with confidence, not cockiness now. There is a difference. There are some people that are just cocky, aren't there? And then there are people that are confident. One of the things I found out is if you wanted to walk into a strange place and you wanted to look confident, then the first thing you had to do was dress a certain way, and you had to walk straight. If you humped over or had your head down like that, there was no confidence. So you have to kind of strut, don't you? And when you strut and you got your head up, you're confident. God is saying, look to me in confidence. Why can we look to him in confidence? Because he has given it to us. And so quickly for the next few minutes, I want us to look at three things that will help us to look up to Jesus. We can be confident in God's place. We see in verses 1 and 2, this letter to the Philippian church is a journal of joy. He says, I pray with joy. When's the last time somebody prayed with joy? Most of it's been what? Give me. Pray for this person, which is good. Pray for that person. Give me this. Give me that. Help me with this, right? But when's the last time we took time out to just talk to God and thanked him, as Chris just said earlier? We thank time. Think and talk to God about the praises. That hymn that we sing, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Do we do that? We have confidence in God's place. In Philippians 4:4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. When Paul and Silas was in prison, they had their heads bowed down and saying, woe is me. God, look at what you've done for me. I went in there and I preached the word like you told me to, and all I got was beaten and thrown in jail. Even the Philippian jailer realized there was something different about Paul and Silas even before they started praising God. And isn't that what he wants us to do? People should be able to see God in us, see something different. And so as we look at God's place, we see that we need to remember the ministry of Paul, that he has brought us together. We come together. This building is not the church that he's talking about, but it is the church here within us, and we come together in God's place to worship. But we can worship anywhere, can't we? We've got people right now, praise God, that is praising the Lord in Starbucks. Not in a church like this, but in Starbucks. We've got out west, they're even meeting in some bars worshiping God. Instead of selling the alcohol, they're covered all that up, and they're having church in the bar. You know? We can meet in this country anywhere, any place, and that is God's, isn't it? Because who created it? God created the heavens and the earth. Every place is his, and we can come to him in confidence anywhere we are. I was riding a motorcycle one day, and I stopped at McDonald's when I lived over in Richlands, and I met another preacher friend of mine that was in the McDonald's, and he was coming out, and we got to talking, and he got a phone call, and he looked at me, and he says, my son's just been in that car accident. We stopped, standing right outside the door, and he says, we need to pray for him. We worshiped right there. We prayed for that son. We prayed for him right there standing at McDonald's. We didn't have to come to the church to do that, did we? You can worship God in his place. Where is his place? When things got hectic with me, I would jump on my motorcycle and I'd run up to the top of Thompson Valley. Now, if you've never been up there, you need to stop at that little turnout up there. When you do, you can stop and you can see for miles and miles and miles. You can see the hills up there and you can see a little dot down there, and all of a sudden, Mike, it goes, oh, moo. It makes that moo sound. way down there, and you could hear them all the way up there mooing. And it's peaceful. And a bird flies over every now and then. And God and I get together and we talk. People ride by. I don't pay any attention. I took my cell phone and I put it in my bike. And we went over to the side over there to that guardrail. And I looked out over that beauty there and I realized God made all of that. And it was magnificent. And then God and I sat down and we began to talk about things. Lord, you know we've got these problems going on. You know that we need help here. And I don't know which way to turn, so I'm coming to you. And you notice I looked up, even though I was on the mountaintop, looking still up to God. But that was a place of worship. That was His place, wasn't it? And so we need to realize we don't have to come to the church building to worship God. We can worship God every place we are, any place, anytime, anywhere. And that's the beauty of being in the country that we live into. The second thing we see is we can be confident in God's power. We can be confident because God has begun this work in us. You get that? Now, I've heard this saying, and you probably heard it too. God don't make no junk, does He? And yet we look around and we think there's a lot of junk, right? And a lot of people think other people are junk. They're just no good. But you know what? God has begun a work in us that He will finish within us. And reading this kind of helps me with people that can't understand death and when it happens and when it doesn't happen. I understand a little bit. Now, I'm not a counselor, so I don't know. But what I do understand with what I've seen in the ministry is simply this. God has a work within us. And He expects us to do that work that He has for us. He didn't say you do it by yourself. You'll do it together with Him. He wants us to finish that work. And when we finish that work, one of the rewards we get is to be with Him. That is amazing. That is the most beautiful thing I have ever heard and seen. He has begun a work in us, each one of us. And as we look at our children's programs downstairs that are meeting right now, God is beginning a work within those children even now. He's teaching them about His Word. He's teaching them music. He's teaching them how to love the way He loved, so that when we get to the point that all we can do is to sit in the pulpits until He takes us home or to pews, those kids will become mature adults and they will continue the work. That's what it's all about. That's what church is all about. That is having God's power. He has begun and will complete it. God will not leave anything unfinished. Not anything. And then the third thing, we can be confident in God's plan. When I worked construction, we had great big pieces of paper put together with clamps that had drawings on it. And you had what we called plans. Then we had a thick book like this, a manual that says what we had to use. It had to be this, this, or this, or better than. And you had to go by those. And when you got ready to build, you looked at those plans and you built what was on that sheet according. How many of you have read instructions on putting something like a swing set or a bookshelf together lately? I wish whoever wrote those directions out would come show me how to do it sometimes. But they have things that they follow. God has a plan, folks. He has a plan. And His plan includes every person in this building. His plan includes this whole world. You may not think about those that are in prison, those that have committed murders and rapes and all of this, but God has a plan for every person. A plan. The question is, do we know what that plan is? And where do we fall in that plan? That's the question that Paul is sharing with them. There is a plan here. And he says this in Philippians 4, 11, 13, I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who strengthens me. Do we have Jesus in our heart this morning? Do we? Do we have Him here? Then Paul is correct in that last verse. I can do all things through Christ who is in me, right? If He's not in us, we can't do it. We can't do it. You can come to church and you can have that star that says you've been on time, you've been a member, you've been here every Sunday for 10 years and never missed a Sunday. But if you don't accept Him here, that doesn't mean a thing. Church attendance won't get you in heaven. Sunday school attendance don't get you in heaven. But Jesus Christ gets you into heaven. And that is what we need to be. We need to see God's plan. Why did Paul say this? Because he could do nothing else but God's plan. I love construction. I loved it. I really did love it. And when God called me into ministry, I was thinking, you know, God, isn't there some way I could still do construction work? Well, you know what? Be careful what you ask God. Be careful. Because I'm in the construction business. I'm not hammering nails, cutting tube of fours with a saw or anything like that. But God has me in the people and church construction business. Sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Letting my light shine. Polishing it up so that others can see it. And that's the plan that He has with me now. I'm still in the construction business, but it's not the same type of construction business. Paul had confidence in God's plans. Now, I know that we look around, even in our own country, right now with our election. Face it, there's not a whole lot of confidence in those that are running. Oh, you can look at the polls and everything, but if you really talk to people confident-wise, there's not a whole lot of confidence in our country right now, is there? The leaders are not confident. The people are not confident. And we see what? Our country is crumbling. But you know what's going to build it back up? Jesus Christ. When we become confident in His plan, as it did. Why was this country founded on religious freedom? People wanted a place that they could come and to worship God and to just give Him all the praise and glory. And we came and we found that place and we raised it up and it became a great country. And now we are seeing it crumble. We can't put live nativity scenes up. We can't have the Ten Commandments in certain buildings and stuff like that. We're seeing it crumble. And if we want to see it rise up again, Jesus Christ has got to be first in our hearts. And we have to have confidence in His plan, trust in His plan. And we see that in His plan, He says that 1 Timothy 1 and 4, through 4, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for the people. Secondly, in Romans 12, 1 through 2, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Third, he has a plan for our ultimate future. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. That's the plan. Simple, isn't it? Why do we make it so difficult? Why do we make God's plan so difficult when He has made it so easy for us? I challenge you this morning.
no matter how difficult the circumstances, we need to understand God is in control. He's in control. He controls all the buttons. He has everything under control. Do we trust Him? Do we have confidence in Him this morning? Are we in His place? Can He look at each one of us this morning and say, "Well done, that was a great worship service"? Can we leave here this morning, know that we have been fed by God and that we can go out in this world and face anything? That's what we need to do. And if we can't, then one thing we can do, look up. Keep looking up. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You've given us and this opportunity to see Your Word. And we pray that we will keep looking up to You, Father, that we will trust in You, that we will have confidence in You, and that we will have confidence in Your plan this morning. Father, thank You for letting us have this time to worship You this morning. Touch our hearts now and move us so that we will be filled this morning and leave here filled and excited about what You are going to do for us. And we will count those blessings and name them one by one each and every day. In Your name we pray. Amen. This morning we give an invitation to invite people to make decisions in their lives. We invite you to